about this service since last week of what the Holy Ghost put on my heart. So I'm excited to share. Of course, this is part two today of the mini-series called Growing Our Faith. And so we'll get right into it. But if you want to take a moment to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. And before I pray, I'll say this because there was utterance at the end of last night's service that wasn't just for Allegheny. It was for, it's really for the body of Christ. Of course, I don't have a voice to the whole body of Christ, but I do have a voice to us here. And, you know, it's important that during this time, you know, I had sensed from the beginning when this all happened by the Holy Ghost some things, and then had it confirmed through my pastor in dealings with him, but also have had it confirmed, unfortunately, in the natural. And it's so important that we don't fall away. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but you say, fall away? Why would I fall away? There's going to be two things that are going to come out of this whole time and season. People are going to increase, and people are going to decrease. And unfortunately, it has nothing to do with the coronavirus. It has nothing to do with protests. It has nothing to do with what the world's doing. It has everything to do with our choices and our hunger. And what I mean by that is, during this time, I sensed in the beginning, it's going to be a divider for people, that some people are going to grow through this. Things will be put in them and are going to come out stronger and better. And then other people that kind of were on the fritz and kind of on the edges anyways are just going to fall off. Now, I'm not saying for those that haven't, that just because you haven't come back to church yet, maybe you're still concerned with being in a public space. And of course, we do encourage you, follow your heart on that. But just know, God wants you in church, and we have made a safe place for you. I don't mean that just necessarily that. That's not what I'm saying. So if you are watching and you say, well, I haven't been back to church, is he talking about me? I don't mean that. No, I mean that if your heart is, well, I'm just never going to come back to church, and this is just my new life. But we've seen attitudes, we've seen different things with people's faithfulness and their support and things for the church and picking up things in the spirit, that it has pushed some people off to the side. And we have to make sure that we don't allow that to happen. The devil's strategy is always divide and conquer. He always wants to divide and conquer. And, you know, we've had to make some changes naturally. But my goodness, if this is what it takes, if this all is what it takes for the devil to rock people off of their faithfulness to the house of God, to the plan of God, to the support of God's plan, then my goodness, there probably wasn't a very strong foundation in the first place. You know, but let's make sure we're growing stronger, staying faithful. What does that mean? Faithful to your appointments, faithful to keep praying, faithful to support, faithful to be an encouragement. You know, even during this time, I've heard things, had to experience some things where you have people from the armchair quarterback position that criticizes us. No, we need prayer, we need love, we need kindness, we need faithfulness, praise God. So don't let the devil do what the devil wants to do. You just stay faithful, and so what that things aren't exactly what we consider normal. We still have the Word, and we still have the Holy Ghost, and we still have the power of prayer to change things. So praise God. With that being said, let's pray. Father, thank you for that utterance that you gave us last night, Lord, because I know that it is tempting now with this, what we consider a new way of living, to push you aside and to just be concerned with ourselves, to just totally be indulged with our own things. But Father, your kingdom is best. Your kingdom is most important. So Father, I pray that the fire would be stirred in people's bellies to press in, to dive in, to pick back up if they've left things off. But Father, we know it always comes from your Word. It's centered around your Word. And we're getting ready to get into your Word this morning. So help us today, Father. I know there's things that people need going forward, and this will help us going forward, but we need help in this moment right now. So Father, speak through me, that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I endeavor not to just say what I think or what my ideas would be, my plans, my purposes, but Father, may I be the oracles of God this morning, speaking bullseyes, words of wisdom, impartations, divine revelation, encouragement, Father. And we'll give you the praise, and we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in Romans 12 and verse 3, it's where we started last week for growing our faith. And it says here that be not, for though I say the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And when I hear the word measure, I think of an amount, you know, and that's what it's talking about, that we've been dealt by God, thankfully, a measure of faith. God started us out on the right foot. He didn't handcuff us to start like people think God's in your way. God's not in your way. God's making your way. He's not in your way. And just so you know, I remember years ago, and it still attempts to come up and creep up into me, you know, these thoughts. But I remember years ago coming to the conclusion, God's not my problem. And it set me free. Amen? God is always on your side. He's the one making a way. The devil's the one influencing and putting things in your way. And so God's not the problem, and we know God's not the problem because he dealt us something and said, here's what you need to deal with the problems. Faith, praise God. That overcoming, devil quenching force that we have, that promise receiving force that God has given us. He said, I've given you a measure of faith, and measure is an amount. Well, we've seen in the Word last week, and we won't rehash all of them. You can always go back and listen, but remember, we saw that faith is measurable. The Bible actually tells us that faith can be measured. You can, you know, in the spirit realm, you can measure a person's faith on the inside of them. And just real quick, Janae, you don't have to turn there, but remember in Matthew chapter 8 with the centurion, he had a servant who was grievously tormented. He used authority and faith, told Jesus, hey, I don't need you to come to my house. Speak the word only. And remember what Jesus said? He said, I have not found so great a faith. Well, that word great faith means large in quantity. So apparently you can have large in quantity faith. I want large in quantity faith. Because we see the result of that was what? A miracle. We see mountain was moved. A problem was taken care of. Things turned and changed. But then we saw in Matthew 14 when Peter got out of the boat to walk on the water, and he did for a bit. But then what? He got consumed with other things. He took his focus off of the right things. It's important to stay focused. Amen. Stay focused. Praise God. You don't want to get out of focus. You got to stay focused. And he took his eyes off the word and started looking at life and circumstances. And he sank, didn't he? He didn't overcome that test that was in front of him. And Jesus said something. He said, Peter, he said, how is it that you're of little faith? Well, little faith and large quantity of faith is two different measures. But the interesting thing is two things. Number one, the great faith succeeded. The little faith sunk. And the second thing that I see in both of those situations is Jesus was present in both of them. Do you realize that there are Christians that are living in the throes of fear and worry and depression and anxiety, poverty all the time, nothing but sickness and disease, and God Almighty is with them every step of the way? He never leaves you nor forsakes you. And then there's other Christians, right, that go through tests and trials of sickness and disease and poverty and pressure, and they're living victoriously, and they're living healthy, and they're getting past things. Well, we might need to take a look at, are we Peter or are we the centurion? Because Jesus was with them both, had the power and the ability and the want to make both of those situations turn right, but it was the faith, and we see, even looking deeper into it, that there was an amount of faith, one great, one little. We saw in Abraham in Romans 4 that the Bible talks about weak faith and strong faith. That's two different amounts, two different measures. And we saw that with Abraham, when he had strong faith, what happened? Got the miracle. And the Bible made sure to point out, he wouldn't have got it if he would have been in weak faith. So God, if we know that the Bible says he's given us a measure, and we've seen that there's different measures in the Bible, little, great, weak, strong. I would guess that God would want us to grow our faith in the strong category. Amen. You know, when you give your children something, I don't assume that you're giving your kids things to cause them to fail. You're giving them things to cause them to succeed and to get better with. And God needs us to have large faith. God needs us to have rich faith, strong faith, large quantity of faith, not only for our lives, but see, I truly believe for the individual as a pastor knowing people, it starts individually. Say, what do you mean? Well, people that are bound in sickness head to toe have a hard time being very effective for the kingdom. People that are completely broke, and I'm not talking about you struggling a little bit financially, I'm talking about abject poverty. You can't pay your bills. You dead up to your eyeballs. It's just, I mean, you're struggling to put food on the table. Those kind of people that are living that way are not usually too concerned with doing kingdom work because they have such hell on earth in their own life. And so God wants us to be successful in our personal lives for the purpose to be successful and bring our blessing to the kingdom. Remember, everything's kingdom oriented. We believe God for money, not so we can line our pockets, thank God if we can, and do things, but it's for the kingdom. We believe God for health so we can be used by Him as the body of Christ. And at least that should be your purpose, and if it's not, you're a little bit off and you need to get that fixed. But God, we saw last week, remember the story in Matthew 25 about the guy, the parable where it started right out. It said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. That means the natural example he's about to give is exactly how the kingdom of heaven works. It's just like this. Well, what was that example? Remember, there was a master or a lord who dished out different things to his servants. And remember, he dished out different things to his servants. He dished out to one 5 talents, right? He dished out to one 2 talents. And he dished out to one 1 talent. Remember that? And the 5-talent person went and turned the 5 talents into what? 10. The 2-person talent turned it into 4. And the 1-person talent did what? Digged it in the earth, went and hid the Lord's money, and didn't do anything with it. Remember? And remember the servant came back, or the Lord came back, the master came back, and what did he say? To the 5, he said, good job, proud of you. You did a great job. Now, because you increased, I can move you into more. What did he say to the 2? You increased, I can move you into more. What did he say to the 1? You wicked and slothful servant. Well, what's the point? God expected, just like this master did or this lord did, this boss, that what he gives us, he expects us to take it and increase and do something right with it. Amen? Hallelujah. And if he's dealt us, just like he dealt those guys, something that could be increased, guess what he's expecting you to do with your faith? Increase your faith. Hallelujah. God is expecting you to increase your faith. Well, why? We want to be in the great faith category. Why? What happens with great faith? Great victories. What happens with little faith? Not great victories. And so we saw that faith is like what? A muscle. Don't forget this. Faith is a muscle. Well, just like a muscle, if you want a muscle to grow and to be strong, what do you have to do? You have to do 2 things to the muscle. You have to, number one, feed it, don't you? You know, these people with big, strong bodybuilders, they don't get big and strong by not eating. In fact, they eat all the time. They eat a lot of calories, you know. The misconception is, you know, to get in really good shape, you don't eat. That's just not true. You do eat. Your body's a machine. You got to fuel it, right? And these people, you know, you have to feed to feed the muscle to get strong. Well, same thing with your faith. Your faith needs to be fed. And we looked at it this way. Remember this. Faith is like a muscle. It needs to be fed. We saw in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by the word of God. But then we saw in Matthew 4:4, the Bible says that man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So just like natural body needs natural food, the spirit man needs spirit food. Now, it's important in Matthew 4:4 that you recognize and understand something. Remember Jesus said, I've come to give you abundant life, John 10 and verse 10? Well, how do you receive abundant life? What is abundant life? Abundant life, the easiest way to understand abundant life is heaven on earth. Well, what's heaven on earth? Well, whatever's going on up there, going on down here. What's going on up there? Health. What's going on up there? Peace. What's going on up there? Provision. Amen? And God says, I want you. What the heck was that? Is that a thunder or was that a drum? Someone drumming? Or maybe our neighbor's trying to wake us up. We got complaints. Pastor Mike, you're too loud over there, so we have to keep the basses off. You know, we were waking them up too early, but maybe they're saying, we're going to get you back. But anyways, you got to feed the Word of God. An abundant life for you to walk into health, prosperity, victory, peace, and joy. What is the avenue you have to walk in through? You have to walk in through what? Faith. Faith is the only way you can do it. So Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, for man to have abundant life or to truly live, they can't do it without the Word of God. Well, we know this. You can't get abundant life without faith, and you can't have faith without a steady diet of the Word. This is, I guess you'd say harsh, but it's just bold and true. If the Word is not ever present in your life, you don't have faith. It can't survive without faith, without the Word. Say, well, no, I can believe that. Not if you're not steadily feeding on the Word, you're not steadily keeping your faith strong. Just like a person that would, a bodybuilder full of muscles and strength, just like that person, if they stopped eating for a long time, it would show up in their muscles. Amen. It would show up in their muscles. And we saw this in Joshua 1 and verse 8, and we saw it in a bunch of different places talking about the Word. Jesus said, live by bread alone. The Word will cause you to live abundant life. Why? Because it causes you to have faith. And we saw in Joshua 1 8, meditate day and night, prosperity and good success. Psalms chapter 1, meditate day and night. What's the result? Whatever you do will prosper. We saw in Proverbs chapter 4, health and life to all the... life and health to all their flesh. How's that result of that? Attending to His Word, inclining thine ear to His sayings. And remember we said last week, we said, sign me up for prosperity and good success. Sign me up for abundant life. Sign me up for whatever I do prospers. Sign me up to health and life and health to all my flesh. Sign me up for that, Pastor Mike. Well, it can be yours, right? If the price is right. If you'll pay the price. And remember what Pastor Mike said. Well, first of all, what's the price to be paid? Meditating in the Word, feeding on the Word. And remember Pastor Mike made the statement and revealed to everyone here that I see people with beach bodies. You see them on TV, you see them on the front of magazines, you see it, you know, just you see it. And like, wow, that would be nice. I want to look like that, you know. And, you can. You can look like that, and you can go for the beach body if you're willing to pay the price. And I'm happy to report. I have to report back to you. It's been a week. And after a week of chicken barbecue, remember chicken barbecue? Almost sent you a picture of it last week. It looked so good. I was this close. Chicken barbecue, corn and burgers twice this week. Also, a pizza that I've not had for over a decade, the Fruesburger and Fruesburgers where I grew up, and I haven't had that forever, so I got that. After that, and then on top of that all, before I came out here, you know, I was looking on our website, and our website starts with FC, but I accidentally, I swear this was an accident, I accidentally typed in KFC, and an ad for Kentucky Fried Chicken came up, so I saw that, and I'm happy to report I am still not willing to pay the price for a Beachbody. I will pay the price for healthiness and you know, certain waist size for my suits. I'll pay that price, but that's as far as I'm going right now. And a lot of people say, oh, I like the looks of prosperity and good success. That looks nice. Just like you look at a beach body. Oh, that would be nice. Just like they look at, oh, health to all my flesh. That would be a nice life. Not all the medicine. Man, that'd be great. Not all the doctor's appointment. Not all the pain. Not all this and that. Everything I do prospers in favor. Man, that sounds great. Oh, sign me up. Okay. But you got to pay the price. What is it? A steady diet of the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. But the second thing we know about muscles is this. What? To feed your muscles not enough. Because if you just feed and feed and feed and never work out, your muscle will get flabby, right? It won't be strong. You'll grow, but not the way you want to, you know, and won't be strong. And so you got to exercise it. Faith must be exercised. And my goal here today is to get you in the faith gym. You know, a lot of people are intimidated walking into a gym, and a lot of people don't ever start working out because of thoughts of, I can't do it, it's too hard, limitations, I'm this, I'm that. And so then, you know, they don't do anything and things get worse in the wrong direction because of all the thoughts. It's kind of like the thought, you ever get the thought when you have so much to do, you just don't do anything? You ever been there before? When, if you really think about it, if you just started doing something, you'd start cutting into that all there is to do. But that overwhelming thought, and if there's anything the devil wants to overwhelm you with that you can't participate, it's the faith gym. Because the last thing he wants you to do is get strong in faith. And so he's going to tell you, oh, you could never have the victories Pastor Mike has. Pastor Nancy, whole different category than you. Brother Hagin, don't even try to think about it. You're just a sheep, and you can just have your little doses of little slopped over blessings of God. It's all a lie of the enemy. And so when the Lord had put this sermon together for me weeks ago, and I thought it was going to be the only message, and I knew it was a two-parter that you have to feed and exercise, I was so thrilled because this is going to help us all where we're at. But it's going to get us all, hopefully, into the faith gym because we have to exercise our faith, praise God. You know, the part of the intimidation for people when they go into a gym is, at least I know for me, sitting down next to somebody and they have the same bench as I have. And they have a bar above their heads, but they are picking up these 45-pound plates and putting them on, 2-3 a side, laying there and just rep after rep. Now, I have trouble even bringing the 45-pound plate to the bar. When I do that, I really try my best to not look like I'm struggling, but I am, and they're just popping it on, and then multiple ones. Well, how many of you know those people that have those muscles and that strength did not start there? A marathon runner, all of a sudden, that their first time they decided to run or to get into running, they didn't start with a 26.2-mile run. Amen? A person that can play, you know, I'm not very far along in my guitar, but I'm farther along than I was when I started. And when I pick, we say, oh man, I'd like to be able to sing along and play chords. That's not where I started. I started somewhere and built up to that. Well, it's the same thing. God wants us to get to great faith and great victories, but we at least got to get started and either get started or pick up. Because, you know, sometimes we get going, and just like with working out, people work out for a long time, and then they take a month or two off, and they lose some things. So I want to get you back going. I want to whip you into some spiritual shape here this morning. I do. I want to get your faith exercised, because think about David. David had a great victory, didn't he, with Goliath? And we think, wow, that victory. But you have to understand that victory had so many personal implications for his life and those around him. That victory not only set the people of Israel free with that giant that was taunting and tormenting them, it got David into the king's family. His reward was the king's daughter. And when you marry the king's daughter, life changes. Life changes for you. Life changes for your kids. Life changes for your children's children, right? Life changes around you. It was a great victory. Well, how did David get in that victory? He didn't on his own accord beat Goliath. He didn't with his own strength, his own might, his own skill beat Goliath. He put his faith in God. But here's the thing. David didn't just show up one day in front of a giant and slay a giant to get into his great blessing. No. David started how? By exercising his faith in the fields. Remember what he was doing? He said, when a lion came, the Lord had delivered me from that. When a bear came, the Lord delivered me from that. Now, there's no doubt, those are just two that he mentioned, but there would have been other predators. There would have been other things that he'd have to use his faith and believe God for, right? He didn't start there, but what happened when he got to the giant? He said, the same God with the bear, the same God with the lion, we got this. What was happening? When he got to that trial, that great a thing that needed to be moved, his muscles, faith muscles, were already built up. We're already strong. How? By exercising his faith in the wilderness, out in the field. Amen. Sometimes, if we don't have a faith project, and this is sad, because faith pleases God. Every single one of us should have a faith project. What's a faith project? A faith project is time in the spiritual gym building your faith muscles. But there's a lot of people, they have no faith projects. They're not building their faith. They're not strengthening their faith. And then when the Goliath shows up, they're not strong enough to move that. It's overwhelming to them. So we're growing our faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for the opportunities that I've had to get into the spiritual gym and exercise my faith. There's no doubt you've heard me tell testimonies financially, physically, things with the church that were only worked out right because of the result of faith. Right? But I didn't start with $2,000 short a month. I started way back when I first got born again, believing God for small things, building it up. So when I got there and I had to get in the gym more to strengthen for that test and trial, but it didn't start there. Believing God for buildings, believing God for a home, believing God for things in my body that I'd say it this way. If you have problems with headaches, well, the headaches don't bother me very much. Why don't you use your faith and get those out of there and strengthen your faith so if something bigger comes, you'll have some faith muscles. Because I didn't just all of a sudden with my appendix and the things that I was told. No, it started back believing him when I'd get a fever, believing him when I'd have a headache, you know. Different small things happening to my children and laying hands on them. We're so casual with things at times. God wants us to exercise our faith. And today is going to help you to start somewhere, to have faith projects and to exercise your faith. And it'll be a great blessing to you. Go with me to 1 John 5 and verse 14. 1 John 5 and verse 14. This is such an important verse when it comes to faith. Some of you know faith is not wondering. Faith is not hoping in the sense of, you're hoping in the sense of expectation hope. Like, you have a hope that it's coming, not a desperation hope. Faith isn't, I'm not sure. Faith isn't, I don't know. Faith is persuaded. The Bible says Abraham was persuaded. Fully confident, right? And the Bible says this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything, now why are we asking? Because something's lacking. Why are we going to him? Because something's off. He hears us. So notice this. If we ask according to his will, he hears us. So if I were to ask you, how can you be assured that God hears you? Your answer would be, if I ask according to his will, he hears me. Right? That tells you that. So if you want to know, how do I know God hears me? Ask according to his will. The Bible tells you, he's telling you right now, that's how you can assure that he will hear you. So then it says in verse 15, and if we know he hears us. Now, again, my question would be to you, how do you know if he hears you? If you ask according to his will. So it says, if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions. So if faith is pure confidence and being persuaded, which means you can't have a wavering moment. You can't have doubt. You have to know that you know that you know. How and where does that come from? It can only come from one place. The foundation of his will. Right? Think about, we just talked about Abraham. Why was Abraham fully persuaded and confident? The Bible says because he had accounted that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. God spoke to Abraham, you will have a child. The natural said no way. Science said no way. The mirror said no way. People said no way. But God said yes. So Abraham was able to be fully persuaded based on God's will. Now with faith, it's very important for you to recognize this. Because without this, your confidence will be shot. And you can't have shot confidence if you want faith. Faith begins and rests. I'll add that on it. Faith begins and rests where the will of God is known. It says right here, this is your confidence. When you ask according to his will, when you know his will. Why can you and I, when we're going through a sickness and our body tells us no and doctors tell us no, why can we be confident healing's ours? We rejoice in our healing. Why, when I was laying in that hospital bed with the appendix, was I rejoicing and getting out of bed, walking with that IV cart so gingerly and rejoicing? Because why? I had confidence in his will. How, when I'm $2,000 short, it looks like you're going under. Can you be confident? The money's coming. Oh, I know the money. I'm rejoicing the money's coming. Because I know his will. Amen? Everything starts and rests where God's will is known. But once we know his will, oh man, we can build off that foundation. We can move forward into great things once we know his will, can't we? Amen. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, that's the only place you're going to get confidence from. Now, I want to bless you this morning because these things that we find out are his will that maybe we don't have in our lives, healing, prosperity, peace, whatever, sleep, good sleep, peace, protection, provision, favor. How do we get these things? We believe God for them. Why'd Peter get out of the boat? The only reason he got out of the boat is because he had a word, right? He knew God's will, and he walked on that word. That word kept him above the water. It's when he took his eyes off the word that he sank. What happened? You go away from the word, your faith goes bye-bye. I think I heard someone say that at the beginning of service. That without the word, you can't have faith. Peter abandoned the word, and faith went out the window. But I want to help you. Go to John 16 and verse 23 and 24. John 16, 23 and 24. Now remember, if you know his will, you can go for it. It's like the guy going down the street and he sees a girl that catches his eye. Oh, man. Oh, that's my wife. I'm claiming her for my wife. Well, she might not be fully on board with that plan. Now, if the Holy Ghost were to say to you, that person, is, you know, show you something in the future, you're going to marry that person. Okay. Then you can have faith for it, right? It's kind of like my home. Already somebody living in my home. I always like that house driving by it. But you can't just, you know what? I really like that house. That's mine. Well, there's people inside that might think differently. But like God told the children of Israel in the book of Numbers, what? This land is yours. But there was people already there. But because God said it, that settled it. Then they could believe for it. Amen? But what did it all rest on? His will. His will. Well, in John 16 and verse 23, what does it say? In that day you'll ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto or up until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive that your joy may be full. Now, I want to help you with your faith here today. But I want to show you something about his will and where you can start believing for something. God says, it's my will that your joy, what's that mean? Your personal joy, be full. You see that there? That your joy be full. Not just your needs be met. Not just bare minimum. That your joy, your personal joy, what is that? I don't know. For me, it's a lot different than other people's. I don't know what's wrong with all of you, because why you don't get as excited about an animal that grows bone out of their head, I don't know. But for me, that's it right there, you know, and different things. But it's desires I have, joys that I have. But he said, I am telling you, my will is that your joy be full. Now, let me say it this way first before I say the other thing. Matthew 7 says what? God's a better natural parent than we are. He says that, how much more will I give you good things? If you get in a religious mindset, this whole joy is full thing, you'll throw it away. Because the religious mindset will say, that's excess. There's a lot more pressing things in the world to be believing God for. There's this and that, and criticize it. But all you have to remember is you already have permission from your daddy. In verse 24, he says, I'm interested in the midst of coronavirus, because the word is never changing. I'm interested in the midst of world hunger. I'm interested in the midst of crisis and turmoil around the world that, yes, let's take care of stuff, but I still want your joy to be full. He's not overwhelmed by it. And so I think about my own kids, and I don't just skimp and stop at their needs being met. It brings me pleasure, like it brings all you good parents, to see your children's joy full. Amen. I like to bless them over and above. And your God's an over and above type God. Now, again, what's the purpose of this message? The purpose of this message is to get you in the faith gym. For what? To increase and grow your faith. For what? The kingdom. That's the goal. We need a body of believers in great faith. But great faith will never come unless you start somewhere. And a great place to start is here. You say, why is a great place to start here? Well, I remember when we moved into the building over there, and a lot of people, you just see the moving into it. You don't see behind the scenes. You don't see the specifics. You don't see the pressure. You don't see the opposition. You don't see what the natural's saying. You don't know offering amounts and certain people that leave and the different things that go on. You just see getting into it. But there was a great, great test and struggle moving from the storefront naturally into this building. Some things happened naturally. It was, we moved into that building in a few weeks. Our offerings were at the lowest they'd ever been, and we had already been a church for a few years, and here we have this new, brand new building. There were natural pressures and things to get into it and to sustain that building. But during that time is when the Lord spoke to me, and I had been looking for a house for 26 months, and I had the inward witness to stop and look at the house we live in now. And when I walked in the house, I had the witness, the house is yours, and I knew to believe God for the house, and it was overwhelming to my natural mind because it was absolutely impossible. Payments were going to be way more than we even had money for. It was all sorts of things on the natural circumstance, but I didn't realize something at the time until I heard, and this is why it's so important to have voices that speak in your life. People that think they can just get... I mean, how many times have you been to church and you got something that you didn't get at home on your own? That a word was spoken, a way of scripture was an analogy, an illustration. It's like you had the same Bible at home, but you didn't get it at home. You needed an anointing and a gift to help you with that. Well, one of the major gifts in my life is Pastor Nancy Dufresne. I honor her and receive from her and hold her in such a high place. And she said one time, she said that God will use your personal life and faith projects for the purpose of strengthening or increasing your faith for the purpose to bring it to the kingdom. Well, let me tell you something. That house project, faith project, it was like going through boot camp. When you go through boot camp, you come out different. You come out changed. You come out stronger. You come out better, more disciplined. When I came out of that boot camp, believing God, miracles, signs, and wonders. In fact, the house testimony, this isn't to brag, it's to show you the magnitude of it. I was at the mustard seed with Pastor Michael. I told him everything that happened. And he said, that's a Brother Hagin-like testimony, Pastor Mike. That's what he said. talking about a big faith thing. Well, it wasn't just for the purpose to get me into a house that we love and enjoy. It was to bring the faith that took me to get into that place and maintain that place to bring it to here. And it's manifested in this, in a building in Allegheny. Praise God. It's the truth. Glory to God. And believe in God and finances and things and going forward with Him. And so he took something personal for the kingdom. So don't let religion get in. Tell you there's more pressing things and that this is selfishness. No, we have the answer right here that God is interested in your joy being full. Now, the way he had me do this is to share with you two examples from my own life that will show you, my goodness, if God will do these, what you might think are ridiculous things for him. Because what I'm about to tell you is not coincidental. I love when I heard Pastor Michael say that people say, oh, these things are just coincidences. And he said, well, my goodness, then I certainly have had a lot of coincidences since I started being a Christian and learning faith. These things aren't coincidences I'm going to share you, but what I want to show you is two times that I used my faith on verse 24, my joy is full, and how there was great change. And I'm telling you, it strengthened and to this day still strengthens my faith. Like David looks back and says, the bear, the lion, take on Goliath, right? Because if God will meet you here, he'll meet you anywhere. Praise the Lord. So I want to show you in John chapter 16, verse 24, it says, you've asked nothing in my name, ask you receive that your joy may be full. Now these aren't world-changing things, but they're small things that increased my faith. That for you, what I want you to first think about in your life, now when we talk about joy being full, apparently your joy cannot be full, but at the same time, the Bible still tells you don't be discontent. So your joy being not full doesn't mean you're in a place of discontent or bitterness or unhappiness. That you can't mix those two things up because we're called to be content with all things. And I am. I'm content with all things. But your joy being completely full, right, is a personal thing because he talks about your joy. In other places, he talks about the desires of your heart. So I want to help you with these two things. John 16, 24, I saw this and decided at one time, like I'm hoping that you'll do, to put this to the test. Lord, I believe your word. Well, let's work the word. Brother Hagin always said, work the word. When you work the word, you know, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 tells you to what? Prove him. Yeah. Yeah. What's he telling you? Work the word. Work the word. Well, you know, I started hunting at a way too young age. I estimate probably around 8 to 10 is when I started hunting with a slug gun in my hands by myself. Paul. That's Paul's fault, man, I'll tell you. Outlaw Paul. I said last night, man, we didn't need New York State to pass a rifle law. 196 Main Street in Frewsburg, New York. We were already hunting with rifles ever since I could remember. I just thought it was a law. What do you mean you're not allowed to hunt with rifles? He's got a rifle every time he goes out. That's my dad. That's who he is. My goodness, that's who he is. But anyways, and so I hunted from, let's see, I grew up in the woods. Like, that's my favorite place besides church to be is the woods. No doubt. Love it. And I spent from age 10 to about 35, and really from, let's see, about 2001, you do all the math, until age 35. I'm 41 now, so if you want to do that later, you can. But I really spent a lot of time in the woods from 2001, because that's when I got into archery hunting and turkey hunting, and my goodness, too much, obsessed, you know, and have had God pull back the reins on me at times. But anyways, in that time of about an estimated 24, 25, 26 years, give or take a year, you know, from 25, either go back or forward, because I'm not certainly, or I'm not completely certain on the dates. But it was around that time, I recognized something. I have never seen a bear in the woods. All the time that I'd spent in the woods. And the other thing I used to do in my free time, this is how lame I am, and why, you know, you hang out with me, wow, we really do the fun things. I just like to go driving on country roads and set my cruise for as low as my truck will let me set it, just so I can go slow and look for deer and turkeys and hopefully bears. You know, I do that all the time. And I'm always pulling over because people don't want to go 15, 20 miles an hour. But I do. That's what I like to do. I love being in the woods, love seeing these things. But I know 25 years, never seen a bear. My friends all seen bears. Father-in-law sees them all the time. And he lives down in Pennsylvania. And it was just uncanny that the time that I spent in the woods in the region we live in and all the driving in the woods, that I wouldn't at least get a glimpse of a bear, but I didn't. And for me, I had a desire. I have a desire. You might have a desire to keep them away. I have a desire, more bears, the better. Something about seeing a bear in the woods, it's just to me unlike anything else. They come through. It's just amazing seeing that black furry body. It's like, wow, that thing can eat me. There's something neat about that. I don't know what, you know, my dream hunt, honestly, my dream hunt is a grizzly bear in Alaska. I want to hunt something like that with a gun. No bow. We're going to put the bow down for that one. We're going to take a gun. But anyway, so I hadn't seen a bear. Well, I got hold of this verse. I said, man, you know what? I'm not discontent. It's not ruining my life. But if you want to know my pie chart of joy, there's a little sliver that's not being met because I'm not seeing bears. Now remember, your joy is different than my joy. Your joy might be purses. I'm speaking from personal experience, unfortunately, of somebody whose joy is purses will allow them to remain nameless. 3 words. Pray for me. Okay? I'm kidding. I need it. I mean, double up in your prayer time, especially now with the information you know. Double up. I don't know what your joy is, but mine was bears, and I wasn't seeing bears. So I said, Lord, I believe your word. You said, give me the desires of my heart. I know it's not life-changing, but you said my joy. And I want to see some bears. So I did. I released my faith. Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. I said, Father, I thank you. According to John 16:24, Mark 11:24. Father, I thank you for increase in bear sightings. Well, one would have been an increase. He could have just done one and said, I'm done. But this is no joke. So I'm 41, so this was about 34, 35 when I released my faith for this. Zero bears up until then. Well, they started to roll in and started to come in. I'll give you a couple stories here in a second. And I was keeping track, and I was starting to get up into the 20s, into the 30s. And it got to the point where I just stopped counting how many bears I'd see. I see bears literally all the time now. And say, that's a coincidence. No, it's not. 6 years now, a few years back, I had to get faithful. And I've told you, the things on my wall have increased when I became more faithful and hunted less. The blessings have been more, putting him first. So I'm less time in the woods. Don't have all the time like I used to have to just go driving around like that. Less time in the woods. And now, I haven't kept track, but if I'm in 6 years, upwards over 100 bears, it wouldn't be a stretch. After asking the Lord, he came through. So I asked him for that and then did what faith does. And I believed him. I believed his word. And so I'd go for the drives or I'd go in the woods. Father, I thank you. I see bears. Father, I thank you. I see bears. And you might think, why do you want to see bears? My joy. Yeah. And I remember the first time that it happened. I was in Youngsville, Pennsylvania, and took my climbing tree stand out, and there came a mom with 4 cubs. And so I saw 5 right away. Bam. Went hunting again a couple days later in Youngsville in a different spot. A mom with 2 cubs came in, and the 2 cubs started climbing halfway up the tree and were chewing on the strap that I had set on the side of the tree, and it was just amazing. I was like, I hope they don't run off with that. I need that thing. It's a true story. Opening day of Pennsylvania season down in opening day of rifle season in Pennsylvania for deer. You can't shoot bears during that gun season. They have a special bear season, so it wasn't bear hunting season. But I went out hunting opening day 1 year, and it was a rainy morning, and I was hunting in a area where it was all hemlocks, and there was a lot of hemlocks and leaves on the ground. Well, when you get hemlocks and leaves on the ground after a good rain, it's quiet. You can get through the woods. And so I'm standing against a tree, and the tree's a little wider than my shoulders on both sides, so I'm hidden. You can't see me if you're looking at the tree. I'm tucked behind it, and the wind's blowing from my back out into to the woods, so anything out in front of me could smell me. Anything from behind me couldn't smell me. And it's starting to get light out, and I'm just going to tell you the truth of how this happened. No exaggeration here. I'm about this far away, we'll say, from the pulpit, and I'm standing there, and it's starting to get light out, and I notice something out of the corner of my eye coming through the woods next to me. And I look, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's a bear. And it never smelled me or saw me because I'm just standing there, and the wind's going this way, and you can't believe how big those things are, but how quiet they can move through the woods. It's like a ghost coming through. It's amazing. And I'm watching, like, where's this bear going to go? And I'm not kidding you, that bear walked from me to the pulpit, slowly just meandering through the woods. A wild bear walked right by me. I could have reached out and said, hey! I advise not to do that, so I didn't. But I could have done it. I could have touched it. And maybe somebody said, I would never want that. Well, number one, I had a rifle. Number two, it didn't know I was there. It wasn't scared. It just kept wandering, and I got to watch that thing. And their butts are so big. And it's just moving out through the woods. And it's like, oh, my gosh. And they're just piling up. And that was a big one. 10:30 that morning, I look out, and guess what else comes in? Didn't see a deer that day. I guess I should ask for the deer, but another bear came in. In 5-6 years, I'm up probably 100 and some bears. You don't think that did something to my faith? Exercising that? Well, a couple years back, I did another thing, right? Most of you know this story. I told you early on that my desire, some reason, is whitetails with ginormous antlers. With, you know, big lot of this growing out of their head. You know, I just, for some reason, I see that. I'm like, oh. Drool comes out. Like, oh, man. I don't understand how it doesn't do it to you, but I know it doesn't do it to everybody, you know. And we don't have bucks like that as the norm around here. There's natural things, you know. You go to Illinois, Iowa, Ohio, Kansas, Missouri, the Midwest with the soil, the food that they have there, and the genetics, they're the biggest bucks in the country. And to get a hunt at one of those places, you have to pay thousands of dollars to go there because they're coveted. People want to see big bucks like that because the majority of people in the country don't get to see big bucks like that. Well, I don't want to have to save up thousands of dollars and go on one hunt and see a 5-day hunt and not have a chance. I want to be able to be somewhere all the time. So I was walking my dog before Wrigley had died, just walking around the property. I don't remember what we were doing, but it was not our normal walk we went on. And this came in my heart. And I was so timid to ask the Lord this because I got religious thinking, me asking for a place in the Midwest, that it's so stupid and silly. You're a pastor. There's other things to believe God for. But then he reminded me, John 16:24, I already gave you permission. Yeah. Right? So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to take you at your word. I said, I want a connection to the Midwest where I can hunt these giant bucks anytime that I want for free. Now, naturally, that's ridiculous. I'm not in a place to ask for that. There's no way to make, like, that doesn't, if you're a whitetail hunter, you know how I know? Because when I tell people the situation I'm in, I look at the envy in their eyes. Deer hunters. Oh, it's true. And also knowing what my Amish friends have told me about how all the people that try to use them because they want to get to where they're going. Well, I asked the Lord for that. And remember what the Lord did? I was getting ready to buy a brand new bow, and he told me to go down to the Amish shop in Panama. Well, I had already had a place where I got my bow. It was a farther drive, and I'm just going to tell you the truth. I had stereotypes in my mind of what that was going to be like. Just being truthful. I don't want to go there. I didn't think they would know anything. I mean, this is how stupid I was before that. You know, just stereotypes. But the Holy Ghost told me to go there, so I didn't question. I just obeyed. Oh, I guess I did question for a little bit, but I ended up obeying. The mark of a mature Christian just obeys and doesn't question. And so I went there. walked in, and it was kind of like when I walked into my house. It was kind of like, well, the way I really describe it, it wasn't as serious as this, but when I first heard Pastor Michael preach, I said, home. Nowhere, I'm not going anywhere. And I walk in the archery shop, and I'm like, I will never go anywhere for as long as I'm alive and as long as this archery shop is open. I didn't even know them, didn't even speak to them. I walked right in, and I had a knowing. I will never go anywhere else for things to do with my bow and archery stuff. Never again. I never will unless they close down business. And so I go there, and I meet Daniel, the guy that runs the place, the son. He was 25 or 26 at the time. And gets me set up with a bow, go back to pick it up. Daniel's not there, and Daniel's son was just born, and they're up in Children's Hospital. Complications. Well, you know, I had compassion on them as parents that had just had a new baby, you know, in the hospital, felt so bad for them. But the Holy Ghost told me, go visit them and pray for their son. Well, there again, I started to question it in my head, you know. At least I end up doing what I'm supposed to do. But I questioned, oh, I don't want to, it's inconvenient, I want to go up there, I don't know these people, they're not going to let me pray for their son. I don't know what their religion is, I don't know what they believe, I don't know all this stuff. But I obeyed and went there. And I walk in and their eyes light up when I come in. Someone that met them one time would drive all the way to Buffalo to visit them to see how they're doing. I mean, you couldn't believe the look. They were shocked. They don't know me. And then I said, it's out of my heart to pray for your baby, can I? And I'm thinking, oh boy, here we go. Here comes the awkwardness. And the wife, Ruthie, was like, sure. And lifted her baby right up and laid hands on the baby, prayed for the baby. Marcus is his name. Was able to take Daniel and, you know, leave Ruthie with the baby when she was nursing and go down to the local Rite Aid and bought them a bunch of games and gifts and things and was able to be a blessing to them. Well, a few weeks later, Daniel asked me to go to breakfast with him and his dad down to that. If you haven't been there, you need to go to the restaurant in Clymer, New York. There's a breakfast place there. I don't know what it's called, Dutch Village or something. But is that what it's called? Anybody know? Been there? It is outstanding, you know. And went there, and I thought I was just going there to eat. And his dad's talking to me and things. Daniel did most of the talking. Daniel's dad just sat there quiet. I thought, this guy hates me. I was convinced. He just wasn't much, Amish, older guy, not really saying much. I thought, why am I here? A few weeks later, he gets with me again, and he says, basically what that was an interview at the restaurant. His dad needed to see, because the Amish don't drive to Ohio. They have a lease in Ohio, and all these giant bucks on their archery shop came from the property in Ohio that they have a lease on, but they can't get there unless somebody drives them. Well, everybody that comes in and learns that they have a lease in Ohio and realizes the Amish don't drive tries to buddy up and smooth right up next to them and get them to let them go there, right? So they don't trust everybody. So Dad needed to be around me. I didn't know what was going on. I just thought the guy hated me. Why'd you bring me here to be with this guy? He doesn't even like me. And Daniel says, we have a couple drivers that take us and hunt with us on the lease. He's starting a business in South Carolina. We need a driver. We want you to be our man. Well, the awesome thing is now I'm on the lease. I can go there anytime I want and hunt for free. And I have literally been in the middle of these bucks that you see on TV that are the joy and desire of my heart. This happened about a month or two after I released my faith for it. After I released my faith for praying for it, every day I'd say, Father, thank you for my connection to the Midwest. And I'll tell you what, it seemed ridiculous up here, but remember, you can have doubt in your head, but faith in your heart. And your head will doubt you, and I had doubt. Oh, man, thank you for a connection to the Midwest. My house is saying, thank you for a connection to the Midwest. You know, my head's mocking me. Oh, yeah, right. And guess what? It happened. That's not a coincidence. Those two things are ridiculous, silly things that for me were my joy, that I took God at his word, got into faith, exercised my faith. They came to pass, and it did something to me. It did something to me, praise God. And now I have, I mean, they're some of my best friends in my life, Daniel and Jonas. Jonas Jr., I still don't think his dad's too fond of me. It doesn't seem like he is anyways. He's at least nicer to me, but he just doesn't talk very much, and it makes me feel weird. I'm not good with awkward silence. Are you? I'm not good with it. People don't talk. I think, what's wrong with me? What did I do? Did I say something? Is it me? Is it me? You know, I'm kind of like that neurotic. What'd I do? That's how he just doesn't say much. But Daniel and Jonas, and Jonas done so much at my house to renovate and things and my office. And there's some of the nicest and sweetest people and great friends that I have. And it came from that believe in God. So I'll say this to end the service. What's a joy for you? Start with something small, okay? You go to the gym, the 100-pound dumbbells are overwhelming, but the fives might not be, right? With faith, start where you're at. Say, what is that? What do you mean? Maybe you just like to believe God for the money to just go out. You know, we're talking about thousands of dollars stuff. I just like to have the money to go out for a dinner. Okay. Just last night, I got a message. Someone sent me a voice message, one of those texting ones that you can have, sent me that after the message, they put it to practice, something that naturally wouldn't happen, couldn't happen. They asked for that at this end of service. By the time they got home, it already came to pass. And here's the cool thing about it, though. Before it happened, that same person told me, as I was getting ready to walk into my office in Allegheny, he said, Pastor Mike, this message just turned everything around for me. And they instantly put it to practice and called me and left me that message, and it already worked for them. It wasn't a grand thing, but it was something that shouldn't have happened last night. It was a small thing. Just start small. You know, we think, I could never believe for thousands of dollars. Well, you might not be able to believe for $1,000, but you could believe for $100 10 times. You could believe for $50 20 times, couldn't you? Start somewhere. And God is telling you right now through this message, I want you to start with your joy. What is something in your life that would bring you joy that maybe you thought, it's just too silly to ask? I dare you. I dare you to ask him for the bears, for the connection, these things that seem ridiculous. But why? They're for a purpose. Not to be selfish. We know there's things in the world. We know there's a harvest. But we got to build our faith. And you don't start with the hundreds. You start with the fives and the tens and the 15s. And you build up. So I want you right now, think about your joy. And I want you to walk out of here. And I want you to do what Pastor Mike did. And then I want testimonies. I want testimonies of people having their joy coming full and different things God doing and showing up. It'll build your faith and strengthen you. Amen? Amen. Exercise, exercise, exercise. You need some faith projects. Amen. Glory to God. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the word this morning. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. You're faithful and kind and good. Father, it's not about bears and it's not about bucks. That's not what this is about. It's about you being faithful to your word. Thank you, Lord. And Father, there are people here right now that there's things that would bring them joy, but they've been afraid or feel like it's not pertinent to ask. But John 16:24 gives us the permission. That's your will. So I pray that people would start to use that because they'll get addicted to it when they see this faith thing working. And then it'll cause them to bring that faith to that thing they take medicine for all the time. They think, that's just the way it's going to be the rest of my life, or this is the way my finances are going to be. Nope, they're going to have faith and they're going to bring it to that. And they're going to build their faith strong. And then when Pastor Mike tells them that the church needs something, or we got to believe for this, or this is coming up, okay, let's do it, Pastor Mike. We're ready to go. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for our help. We glorify you. Now, I know everybody in the room is born again, but if you're watching right now and you're not saved, I want to give you the opportunity to go to heaven. It's easy. So how do I get to heaven? There's a roadmap. His name's Jesus. Say, what do I have to do? I don't know. Well, the Bible tells you in Romans 10 and verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, talking about Jesus and raising from the dead, you'll be saved. So you have to do two things. Number one, believe, which is in your heart. Number two, confess, which is in your mouth. Starts in your heart. If you can say, you know what? I don't understand everything. Not everything makes sense, but I believe. I believe in Jesus. That's the first step. Second step is to ask in him, declaring your belief in him. So if you're watching, you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you want to, I encourage you to get into a quiet place and pray a prayer that sounds like something like this. Mean it from your heart. Lord, I believe you. I believe in you. I believe you're real. I believe you died and rose again. I ask you to come into my heart. If you'll do that, he'll come in. He'll save you. He will bless you. He will become a father to you. Heaven will be yours. And then plant in a local church. That's your next step. You don't have to go to church to go to heaven, but you need a pastor in a local church. Where a pastor is, preaching the word to you to tell you how to get these things, how to receive, how to walk into these things, changes in your life. So if you pray that prayer, you know, let me know, send me an email, give me a phone call, but let's just worship him and thank him this morning. We bless you, Lord. We honor you and glorify you. We thank you for your mercy and your goodness. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Go with me real quick to Proverbs 28:20. We're going to take up our offering. I don't have much time here, so... I just want to encourage you with something. Proverbs 28:20. Well, I guess I'd left my offering in my office. We'll put it in at the end of service. So, Proverbs 28:20 says, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings." Notice that. A faithful man will abound with blessings. Notice there's certain blessings, which what? Bless you, that you can't get without the avenue of faithfulness. You see that there? Faith, walking in love, doing these things are right and well, but there's just certain things. What's faithfulness? Doing the right thing over and over and over again. And I know at times it seems like, boy, been tithing, where's the harvest? A faithful man will abound in blessings. And there's certain things you need to be faithful with. We need to be faithful with our money, tithes and offerings. But I'm not seeing it. A faithful man will abound in blessings. Praise God. Just keep being faithful, right? There's certain things that only faithfulness can get you into. Praise God. Father, thank you for this opportunity to give this morning. Lord, we call this church blessed, all the needs met, fully funded, fully supplied, debt-free. And Father, as we give this morning, we thank you it comes back to us. We thank you the windows of heaven are open. Thank you for increase and overflow. Again, not for us personally, even though it will benefit us, but the purpose is for the kingdom, for us to be a blessing. So bless us, Lord, to be a blessing. We'll give you the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to dismiss here in a second. If you need prayer, come on up. We'll agree with you and pray with you and believe God. Don't forget, again, I apologize for assuming. I'm going to wait till I have a specific date and an okay. But no midweek service this week. But I'm asking on Wednesday during service time, pray for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Love you. Appreciate you. We'll see you next week. You're dismissed. Praise God.